great pleasure this year to introduce Reverend Lydia Emeshek Bodor. She's the latest in a long line of Transylvanian ministers, actually 24 so far, who have come to the Star King School for the Ministry for a year of study and preaching and educating Unitarian Universalists around the country. We, meaning this congregation, are one of four privileged churches to play host to these wonderful people. And they're very talented, and I've just enjoyed being with them so much. Some of you have donated needed items, hosted Emeshek in your homes, played or hiked with her, taken her to a museum or a place you enjoy. For those moments of hospitality, I thank you. Emeshek was born in and lives in the city of Cluj-Napoca, or Kolosvár in Hungarian, which is in Romania. She attended the János Zsigmond Unitarian High School there, graduated from the Protestant Theological Institute of Cluj, where after that study she became a minister. In the past 8 years, she's returned to the high school, serving as chaplain and teacher of religion. Although she does not serve a congregation of her own, she has served and preached in other congregations around the country. And that's to say nothing of the probably 20 different congregations she's preached in during her year at Star Kings. She's interested in philosophy, passionate about education for children and youth, and has a vision for the future of sexuality education in her country. She also loves the outdoors, swimming, bicycling, and hiking. She likes to express herself artistically with painting and singing, and it's been my great pleasure to get to know her this year. And I would be remiss if I did not shamelessly promote her farewell appearance with our congregation, which will be our dessert social on Saturday, June 2nd, here, right in this room. So please feel free to pick up a flyer at the back and let us know if you can come, and so we may send her home with our thanks for all she shared with being here. Without further ado, please welcome Reverend Emeshek Bodor.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for being here. It's my great honor and pleasure to be here with all of you and to talk about my life and my experience as a minister and religious educator back home in Transylvania. I want to welcome you to feel free to ask questions at any time of my presentation or discussion. I would like to start with acknowledging that that today is one of the four Sundays that in our church, in the Hungarian Unitarian Church in Transylvania, people have communion, because today is Pentecost Sunday. So I chose a short verse from the Bible, which says, "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." And I think remembering that first gathering of the disciples is still an invitation for us too, to work in this world, to give our best for building the communities and the world we want to live in. You probably all know that this is a very important year for Unitarians, as it is the 415th anniversary since Unitarian Church exists. and it started in Transylvania. So I'm very proud to say that I am from Transylvania, and Transylvania is the only place where the only Hungarian based and Hungarian founded church was born in January 1568. And I start with this very special and historical event because I think it is the very basic and the beginning of showing how important education is for us and for Unitarians or Unitarian Universalists all around the world. But I will talk about Transylvania today. Please forgive me for that. But this is where I am from, and this is where my experience are. So this historical event and the first proclamation of religious freedom was possible because of a very young and very educated prince. John Sigismund, or János Zsigmond as we call him, was king of Hungary and prince of Transylvania at that time. In a time when people all around the world and in Europe were talking about religious issues, we should remember that we are only a few years after, or a few decades after Reformation happened in Europe. So Reformation in 1517 started the beginnings of the Protestant churches. And we know that this also meant that many, or some people, as Michael Servetus, for example, who was the first one who we know as the anti-Trinitarian teacher, he was born to death because of his beliefs in 1557. And only 11 years later, our great king and prince and our great first bishop managed to make such a rule and give the proclamation of religious freedom, which at that time allowed for all religions and all the churches living together in Transylvania, and for all people in Transylvania to choose what church they want to attend, which minister they want to listen to, and where do they want to belong. It is outstanding and very special, and this is one of the reasons we are very proud of it, because at that time a king or a prince could have said that this is what I believe, this is my religion, and everybody should follow that. But he didn't. He was enlightened enough, even if he was a Unitarian, to say that acceptance and tolerance is one of the values we want to promote. So people could choose between being Catholic, Reformed, Lutheran, and Unitarian. And this is the time we consider the beginning of Unitarian Church. And because in Transylvania there was a small minority of Romanian people, Orthodox religion was also accepted or tolerated. So he is the, or this is the beginning of Unitarian Church. And I say Hungarian Unitarian Church because this is our official name so far. You probably all know that nowadays Transylvania is not part of Hungary, but it used to be until 1920. And Hungarian people still live in Transylvania and still consider themselves Hungarians, but I will talk about that a little later. In 2012, when the Hungarian bishop died, the two churches decided to merge. So now today is one church, and it's called Hungarian Unitarian Church. And there are more Hungarian Unitarians in Transylvania than they are in Hungary. So it's, I think it was logic to merge these two churches, and the bishop and the headquarters are in Transylvania, in my hometown. Soon we will see a picture of that. I was talking about this one. This is the old map of the big Hungary before 1920. And this is Transylvania. That is Transylvania. And now, today, we have in the Hungarian Unitarian Church, we have six separate districts. And one, which is the Hungarian one, is the seventh separate one. You only see the Transylvanian parts here. And we have around 120 Unitarian congregations. We are still one of the smallest historic church because after, if we jump back to the 16th century, it was a very big success, the proclamation. But only after only 3 years, this very enlightened great prince, János Zsigmond, died in 1571. And that was the beginning of a very hard period for Unitarians, as the new prince was a Catholic, Báthory István, and one of the two rules he brought right at the beginning of his position was that he prohibited any kind of religious thinking or renewal. So people were, it was okay that we already had a proclamation of religious freedom, but people shouldn't talk anymore about religion or the changes or what else do they want to change. The only problem was that the founder of the Unitarian Church, David Ferenc, who was born Catholic and then he turned Lutheran and Lutheran bishop and then Calvinist and Calvinist bishop, and then he realized reading the Bible and learning, studying in many places around Europe and having faced these new ideas, he realized that never in the Bible, the Bible doesn't really say that Trinity is real or that we should worship Jesus and pray to him and so on. So he became anti-Trinitarian, and thanks to him, the Unitarian Church was born in Transylvania. But because he was a continuous burning spirit searching for the truth, even after János Zsigmond died, and in the time when Báthory István was the new prince, he went forward with his beliefs and with his thoughts. And he started teaching that Unitarians or people should not worship Jesus nor pray to him. And this is the reason he ended up being imprisoned in Deva. I'll try to find Deva in the map. But that is the pilgrim place for Unitarians in Transylvania or from all over the world, because that is the place he died only a few months after he was imprisoned. And this was 1579. So 11 years after the proclamation. So we lost János Zsigmond in 71 and we lost David Ferenc, and Unitarians were terrified after this. They lost their hope. They lost their sense of community and their sense of strong beliefs and fighting and so on. So, and we could talk about all the history parts and the hard parts of Unitarianism across the centuries, but I won't. The truth is that today we are only a few. And being Unitarian in Transylvania and being Hungarians in Transylvania is a very specific situation we had to learn to live with. As Hungarians, we are minority. And as Unitarians, we are minority within the Hungarians. So it's a strong fight or learning experience to keep our identity. I probably should have mentioned at the very beginning that the Hungarian Unitarian Church, even today, defines itself as a Christian church. I think this is the main difference between Unitarians in Transylvania and Unitarian Universalists here in the United States or around the world. We define ourselves as Christians, and in the eyes of our Protestant fellows, our Christian Hungarian fellows, we are the ones who are not Christian enough because we believe in, or we believe things differently. We think that Jesus was human, and he was a great teacher for us, but human and a great example. Bless you. Because we don't believe in Trinity, and we don't believe in resurrection, and we don't believe in the original sin, which all are part of the beliefs on the Protestant churches. We are like very separate from all the Hungarian Christian churches. So you can tell and you can see that it is a very specific situation. The other very important thing is that Transylvania is it's a very conservative, traditional society, even today. That has benefits also, and it has challenges. Regarding religion, one of the biggest challenges, I think, is that people are born into their religion, and they don't really get to choose something else. I can count on one hand how many people I know who decided to take a new religion, to become Unitarians, for example. It's not common at our place. If somebody is not religious, or usually everybody is baptized on their first year of life because of tradition, and many people who don't want to faith or don't want to be part of church, or they consider themselves that they are not religious, they will just live without church, without church community, without religious life. But it is very hard to step out of the family tradition or the village tradition and say that, you know, I think these are the values that are what I believe in, or according to this I want to live my life and I want to choose to become something else. I am optimistic about it, and I want to say that many people in Transylvania are Unitarians in their heart, but they didn't choose yet to convert into Unitarianism. The other important part of our education is that in Romania, religion is still part of schools. That's how I ended up being a religious teacher and school chaplain for the last 8 years. So mainly that was my ministry. the János Zsigmond Unitarian High School is even older than the Unitarian Church. It was founded in 1557, and we still owe that building and that tradition. Well, the building is not from that time, because this building, this is the first Unitarian Church in Kolozsvár, and this building is the fourth building of the Unitarian High School, which was founded in the 16th century, and it is also the building of the headquarters in Kolozsvár. So the bishop is there, is the center of the bishop and headquarters of the Hungarian Unitarian Church. Why did I start talking about it? Oh, yeah, about school, yeah. So we have more than 800 students, but not all of them are Unitarians. Even within our students, Unitarians are in a minority. But because religion is part of state school, the children and the youth and the parents are free to choose what religion what religion class they want to attend. Do we have a question?
Is that the city of Cluj there?
Yes, exactly. Cluj is the Romanian name, so any time you hear me saying Kolozsvár is the same. So Cluj is the official name, Kolozsvár is the city for me. Yes, so this is part of the historical center of Kolozsvár. So the children, because we are a Hungarian school, so everything, every class is taught in Hungarian. Exceptions are the language classes, which means Romanian, English, and German. But everything else is taught in Hungarian. So we have Hungarian students. That means that we offer Hungarian religion classes or the historical Hungarian classes. So people can choose either Catholic, Reformed, or Unitarian. We have only very few Lutherans. The Lutheran church is even smaller than our church in Transylvania. So they are free to choose, and I was lucky enough to have students from, I would say, maybe all churches. So I had atheists, I had Orthodox, I had Reformed, Lutherans, Calvinists, and Catholics who chose to come to the Unitarian class. And I think part of it is because we don't want to convert anybody. We are free and we are open to accept the differences and celebrate them. So, yeah, that's why I say that Unitarianism and education is a lucky match, because we don't force anybody to believe what we believe in. We want to open doors, we want to open gates, we want to start connection and communication among religions and open people to spirituality, which is a great challenge in our society. So we educate with our example, with the day-by-day life, with our attitude to life, to people, communities, and nature. So this is the building I call my second home, because I was a student there for my high school years, and then I went to seminary, and after 4 years of seminary, I returned as a religious teacher in school chapel. And I also want to tell about our school, that it started as a high school more than 450 years ago, and nowadays we have kindergarten, primary, secondary, and high school. But the name is still János Zsigmond Unitarian High School, because that is the traditional name. And János Zsigmond is the first Unitarian and first prince of Transylvania, so the name is honoring him. When I was thinking about the specific characteristics of our education, I thought of these things. I say a trustworthy history because I still remember being probably in 7th or 8th grade when I had a Romanian history teacher, and she was teaching Romanian history. So you have to know that what the real history of Romania is and what they teach about the Romanian history is like two parallels. The Romanians, or some of Romanians, are still trying to convince everybody else that they were there since I don't know, millenniums or centuries, and trying to deny that Hungarians never moved from that part. The boundaries moved, but we were there, or my ancestors were there. So it is very important for us to educate and teach our students, our Hungarian students, about the real facts and the real history of our place. It is very important, although even living in a minority life, to give them roots. And giving roots means that we celebrate the values of our Hungarian identity, the values of our culture, the values of our Christian identity, and the values of our communities. So we celebrate all the Christian holidays, we celebrate all the Hungarian national days, holidays. We teach about all the very important and famous Romanian people, poets, actors, artists, and mostly about all the famous Hungarian poets, artists, actors, and so on. And to strengthen our roots and to strengthen our community, we try to offer, outside the traditional classrooms and outside of the schools, opportunities for people to connect, to live according to their values, to communicate, to learn from each other. I like to say that things are changing in a positive way nowadays. Kolozsvár or Cluj had a mayor, a very nationalistic mayor, for 12 years. And that 12 years period was a hard one for Hungarians living in the city. Everything was painted, even the trash holders in the streets were painted in red, yellow, and blue, which is the colors of the Romanian flag. So everybody had to remember that they are in Romania. It wasn't lucky, and it wasn't good to talk in Hungarian when you are on the streets or a bus or on anything. And that was, it ended in 1996. And I like to say that in the last 12 years, communication really started between the Romanians and Hungarians. We can celebrate Hungarian cultural days for 8 years now, for weeks, with cultural programs, Hungarian concerts, thousands of Hungarians in the center of the city. I say we as the Transylvanians, we started organizing common festivals and programs with Romanians. And I say that education is the most important thing for that. So if we learn about our history and our common history and our values, then we realize that it is the best option for us. It is to learn to live together, to learn to celebrate our differences, and to say we have educated Romanian people who are very well known. They are media people, and they will post on social media on 15th of March, which is the National Hungarian Day, and they would say that, "I am grateful for you Hungarians because our culture is more beautiful and more diverse because of you." And that is a nice act, and I think it shows, first of all, the importance of education, and then the beauty of living together. Okay, I think I was talking too much. Yes. Yes. I think we have a microphone.
Yes, I had a question, and maybe you're getting to it later on. Your school that is called the high school, is that is any of that program a residential program, meaning that there are some students who actually travel from somewhere else and live there? And then also the other question I had is, in what language is instruction given? Is it multiple different kinds of languages depending on the class? Like English and Hungarian and Romanian?
Okay, thank you for the questions. Yes, we have a dormitory. So the school was only high school until 2003. And then we started the primary school, and now we have all the generations because they grow with the years. And for mostly for high school students, we have place rooms in the dormitory, and we have a kitchen. So this is the building. I have a bigger one somewhere. And I love to say that it's three in one, because in the basement there is a very modern kitchen and dining hall. These two or three levels are actually the school classrooms and all the other laboratories. You will see some of them because I have a short movie about the school. And in the top here, if I remember well, with many or a big help from Unitarian Universalists from the United States, with support and help, we built a very good, beautiful, and modern dormitory a few years ago. Probably it was finalized in 2003 or 4. So yes, we have students coming from different regions of Transylvania who are far enough to be hard to come every day. So they come and stay there for the whole week or the whole 4 years. And that is also an opportunity to build community. I say mostly high school students because the smaller ones are too small to be far from parents. But we have a few students, maybe two or three, less than 10, I would say, who are in secondary school, and they really wanted to come to Kolozsvár to learn, to study. And for them it is even harder at age 12 or to be far away from parents. But they get used to it, and after they feel part of community, it is easier. The second question, because all of our students are Hungarian or speak Hungarian, but usually they are Hungarian. I say they speak Hungarian because we have a few students from mixed families, and mixed family is usually Hungarian and Romanian. But all those who chose to come to Hungarian school, they do speak Hungarian. So instructions and mainly almost everything is in Hungarian. Exceptions are the language classes, as I said. So we have to learn Romanian because that's the official language of the country. which they start very young. I think in the first grade, at age, or even preparatory, which is now age 6 in our at our place. And then from the second grade, they learn either English or German as a second foreign language. Is that your question? Okay. And stepping out from that building, because I tend to talk about our school because that's part of my past and my life. But as even as a minister in our Unitarian communities or as a spiritual and religious leader, I think these are what we must do in our communities. To strengthen, to inspire, to educate, to be there, to listen, teach, and so on and so on. The Hungarian Church, the Hungarian Unitarian Church also offers many things outside our traditional boundaries. For example, for the last, I would say after the fall of communism, the church, all the churches, not only ours, but all churches started to renew themselves. Even our school, they just celebrated the 25th anniversary since the school was open again after the fall of communism. So everything started to renew itself after that period. And for the churches, one of the most important issue was to gather and to strengthen communities. And one way of doing that is doing children camps in summertime. So for decades now, we have at least 3 or 4 children camps with hundreds of Unitarian children all around Transylvania. And that's a great way for them to connect and to live their values and learn about it and sing and play and learn. We also have a very strong national youth organization, which is called the David Ferenc National Youth Organization, which also helps youth from all over the country, from all over the Unitarian congregations to connect with each other. They have activities, programs, they have drama days, they have conferences, and mostly in summertime, and that also is a great opportunity for hundreds of Unitarian youth to get to know each other, to meet, and to stay in connection, and to be proud of their religion and their Unitarian values. Because outside the Unitarian schools, I don't think they have too many opportunities to talk about it. We have 2 Unitarian schools in Transylvania. One of them is the... Oops. Where is that? Oh, yeah, here. One of them is the one I was talking about. And Berde Mózes Unitarian High School is in Székelykeresztúr, which is a Székelyland. You probably heard about it. It was founded very close in time, and the importance of education also shows in these buildings and these institutions, because even centuries before, the very educated and very well-known Unitarian people would decide to donate everything they have for these institutions. So we have Berde Mózes, for example, whom the second school honors his name, was the one who donated all he had for that school. So it can be built, and for students who had financial problems, they wanted to support students. Yes?
How far are these towns from Timișoara?
From Timișoara? Okay, I'll show you. I'll try to show you in the map. So Timișoara is here. Kolozsvár is here. And Székelykeresztúr is here.
Thank you.
So Kolozsvár and Székelykeresztúr is about, according to our driving system or route system, is about 3 hours, 3.5. So from Temesvár even more, maybe 4 hours. Kolozsvár, and then Székelykeresztúr, even more.
I had a brief question. My geography is not very good. What are the surrounding countries?
Okay.
Here, just briefly, and I'll.
So this is Transylvania. Here is Hungary. Here is Slovakia. Ukraine.
Just wanted to mention that, you know, we have a village education fund here that helps support the high school and university students from our village of Homerode Uifalu. And most of these high school students from our village go to the school in Székelykeresztúr.
Mm-hmm. There, too, they have a dormitory for the students from that region. Okay. Any other questions? I guess yes.
if we have a few minutes, again, it's because I know so little about this area. Are there like Muslim or other or international students that would have families that are mixed, as you say, that also might be Christian and Muslim or other types of backgrounds?
Mm-hmm. Thank you for the question. I would say this is the beginning of that period, probably because we needed some time after the communism and after the society trying to renew itself. But yes, Kolozsvár today is I would say after Bucharest, which is the capital of the country, in Transylvania is the biggest university town. So we have thousands of students coming to university in Kolozsvár, and we have foreign students or students coming from outside the countries. And I would say that's why I say it is the beginning of that period, because we will have, or we already have, and we will have even more people staying there and building family and community there. Yeah. Yes.
There's large numbers of Hungarian immigrants to the United States, Canada, probably Latin America. Are there Hungarian Unitarian congregations or communities here in the Western Hemisphere?
Thank you for the question. I wish they were. No. I spent the last more than 9 months now here mostly in Bay Area and in California. And I know many Hungarian people. And I know two congregations. One of them is a Calvinist Hungarian church and a Catholic Hungarian church. So all the people with Unitarian background or Unitarian ancestors, usually they either find a UU church where they want to belong or they go to the Reformed or Catholic churches. But we have members here, so maybe we can ask them.
Would you talk about your own background? Obviously, you were born under the communist regime. And your family, how did they fit into that period of time, and where are they now, and what's personal?
Okay, thank you. I will. I'm happy to talk about it. I was born in Kolozsvár. That's why I say that this is the heart of Transylvania. So I'm lucky enough to be of those generations who experienced the big city life. And because my parents come from a small village close to this big town, I also had the opportunity to spend months and summers at my grandparents in the village area, a rural area. I was 3 years old when communism fell, so I don't really have memories about communism. I only know what my brother, for example, told me, who is 8 years older. So he has memories with the communism. Coming from a small village, which maybe 95% was Hungarian, for my parents it was natural and obvious that we are Hungarians, even if the political system or anybody else wanted the Hungarian people to forget that thing. So I would say my parents, coming from the village, they were farmers, so, and they ended up in the city and they started working in factories and in orphanage, I think you call it. So my father worked for 28 years in an orphanage. I think that's our reality. And I have an older brother, and he lives in London now with his family. He had an opportunity, a work opportunity within his field. He is a social worker, and after finishing the university years, he had a good opportunity, work opportunity, and he decided to go with his girlfriend, at that time now his wife, and they have two children. So they live there for more than 12 years now. Okay.
I do have a question, and I don't know if it's political or religious, but why don't we mention Unitarianism existed before Francis David? Because on paper, in my family, we are Unitarians in 1546, actually. We are Unitarians. So the Unitarians existed before Francis David, and Francis David came to the Unitarian Church, into the Unitarian religion. Mm-hmm. And the difference is between church and religion. The religion existed for 2,000 years.
That's true. Yeah.
You see. The Unitarians, but was so suppressed that we couldn't have a church. But there was the religion there. So I'm so surprised that that's never mentioned, that the Francis David did not start the Unitarian religion, only the church.
Yeah, that's why I say, that's what I say. Yeah, usually we say that the religion, is more than 2,000 year old.
Yeah.
But the church counts.
But all the other churches are the same, because that's when the law was spent, and they could have their own, because many of those churches were Catholic churches before, right?
Yeah.
Many of the Unitarian, and all the Protestant churches were Catholic churches before the freedom
before
of religion.
Before the Reformation, yeah. Thank you. Thank you for mentioning that. Many things, yes.
I would like to know who is Odifionin and the three things let.
Okay, National David Ferenc Youth Association.
Okay.
I mentioned before, sorry for not saying it. It's in Hungarian, but it's the National David Ferenc Youth Association. Okay. I will show you.
Just one last question, if you're willing to entertain it. I like some people here, have known people who are of Hungarian descent who are from Latin America or in this country, and all very talented. Could you say just a few words? I have not heard Hungarian, to my knowledge, for a number of years for sure. I was wondering if you might say just a little bit so that we could hear what the cadence and the sound might be.
Yes, I have a good news. I have a short movie, and it's in Hungarian subtitled in English. So you will hear many voices. Okay, is that a good... Okay, I wanted to say that this year... I've been here, I came in August, and I missed so many big celebrations in Transylvania because in October there was a big anniversary of 500 years from Reformation with 500 Protestant ministers walking on the streets of Kolozsvár, and then 450 years of Unitarian Church and all the celebrations mostly January, but the whole year. So you can still catch some of them if you decide to go to Transylvania this year. And my school just the last week celebrated the 25th anniversary, and they came up with a new short video, which I want to show you.
And we have a
Sorry for this technical break.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of.
Well, no worries. I'm sure we can Google some more.
And I hope you will.
After.
You can think about any last questions.
Well, while we're solving that difficulty, and because I know we're up against the end of our time slot here almost, I just again want to thank Emma Shea for everything that she has contributed. And and I invite you to come on June 2nd. More about June 2nd. It's a dessert social. We're asking for a $20 donation to help our village education fund. We are serving cold cherry soup and other wonderful delights. And you will also hear from not only Emma Shep, but Zachary Vincent, who is currently our religious education assistant. And he was a Balazs exchange student, spending some time in Transylvania. And he will be, there's a short video because he went to our partner church village and spoke with our new minister. So you'll be able to see our new minister from our partner church over there. And
just basically you need a rain check. And we'll come back. On June 2nd.
Thank you. Which is the Facebook name of the school, you'll find many things. Yesterday they had, for example, the prom ball. I also wanted to show you that, but the internet is not in our favor now. I'm kind of sorry because it's really good.
No worries. We know we'll connect.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess I have to say a few things in Hungarian then, because you haven't heard
Hungarian. I can sing.
Oh,
is that okay?
Austin, I can. I would like to sing a Hungarian folk song. Better. Kertem olyát patak víze kimosta, a szívemet nehéz bánat szorítja, addig öli a szívemet a bánat, amíg párja nem leszek a babámnak. Beteg vagyok a szerelem betege, világos kék szemmel vagyok megverve, nem gyógyít meg csak... Ups, sorry. I forgot the second verse. But the third one is... tiszta búzát szedeget a vadgalom, szépen szól a szóváti nagy harang, azt veri ki mind a két oldalára, szerettem egy csajfa legényt hiába, azt veri ki mind a két oldalára, szerettem egy csajfa legényt hiába. Thank you.
Thank you
so much for being here.